Knowing what to do when someone collapses in front of you can save his or her life, even under the most extraordinary circumstances. Recently, the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, published what they think is the longest ever example of out-of-hospital cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR. Dr. Roger White tells the story. He's an emergency physician and medical director of the Mayo Clinic's emergency transport team.
It was a very unusual event for me as a physician who manages cardiac arrest routinely. He was otherwise previously a very healthy man, 54 years old, who had been out working on his exercise regimen at a community gymnasium and was on his way to a grocery store, and he collapsed at the doorway. The arrest was witnessed by a bystander who immediately instituted CPR, and fortunately also a nearby trained first responder rescuer came to the aid of the victim, so the two persons initiated CPR while the rescue vehicle was en route.
Just members of the public.
They're trained first responders, though. They have minimum medical equipment, most importantly an automated defibrillator. So while they continued CPR, they connected their defibrillator and confirmed that he was in ventricular fibrillation.
This is where the heart quivers rather than pumps, usually after a heart attack.
Yeah, but it is potentially a treatable form of cardiac arrest. And the first responders continued CPR and delivered a total, I think, of 6 shocks with their AED. Meanwhile, our flight crew was en route from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester and arrived at the scene, and they then commenced advanced life support, attached their more sophisticated advanced life support defibrillator monitor, intubated his trachea, and started an IV and began monitoring his end-tidal carbon dioxide pressure.
This is getting a bit technical, but put simply, end-tidal carbon dioxide pressure measures the amount of carbon dioxide in the exhaled breath of the person being resuscitated. The higher the level, the more effective the resuscitation, particularly the chest compressions. And what Roger White's team on the ground found, to their surprise, was that the carbon dioxide pressure was almost normal. Yet the guy had been technically dead for a long time by this point.
We almost never see carbon dioxide pressures that high with chest compressions. Well, why was that? Well, we had a cadre of rescuers who responded to this call for help. So we had like 25 people who lined up and in turn contributed to the chest compressions because, as you know so well, they are very tiring. And when one would fatigue, another one would take over immediately, uninterruptedly. And in retrospect, that is the reason we were able to preserve blood flow to the vital organs, most importantly the brain.
But despite that good news, the cardiac arrest was far from over. Despite 6 defibrillator shocks, the man's heart kept on going back into arrest, ventricular fibrillation or VF. The flight team put a tube into his lungs and ventilated him with oxygen and gave even more shocks, as well as a medication called amiodarone, which is supposed to settle abnormal heart rhythms.
Despite this, though, ventricular fibrillation kept recurring. So I was called by cell phone in contact with a paramedic to try to figure out a way to get him out of ventricular fibrillation. We got to the 11th shock. So we had 6 delivered by the first responders, and now we've delivered 5 with the paramedic defibrillator, and we're still in VF. So I told him to give him another 300 milligrams of amiodarone. Well, they only had an additional 150 milligrams in their drug box. But fortunately, another ambulance had another 150 in their drug box. So we were able to give him 300 milligrams, and I ordered them to do that and then give him what was then the 12th shock. And the 12th shock terminated permanently his VF, and it never returned. And a few minutes later, the paramedic felt a pulse.
And then he went to hospital and had his blocked artery fixed up.
Yes, so he packed him up, brought him in the helicopter to this hospital, and found that he had an LAD occlusion.
It's called the left anterior descending artery, which is one of the critical arteries in the heart.
I'm sorry, yes. A major coronary artery was obstructed by a clot, and that clot was removed, and the artery was fixed or stented, and he remained stable.
With no brain damage?
Remarkably, not a single piece of evidence of brain damage. I timed his period without a pulse at a conservative 96 minutes. It was another 6 minutes before a paramedic felt a definite pulse. So 96 minutes with certainty, totally pulseless.
How does that compare to other stories in the literature?
There have been some long resuscitations in the hospital, but I could find nothing of this duration in an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest without any brain injury whatsoever.
And you put this down to the community response, that there were people around who knew what to do.
I really give full credit to those 25 rescuers who committed themselves to sharing the responsibility of doing good CPR that maintained blood flow and enabled this brain to survive an unbelievably prolonged period of pulselessness.
And just because people are now going to be wondering, remind us what the modern recommendations are for CPR in terms of the emphasis on chest compressions rather than mouth to mouth.
At least for the initiation of CPR, for laypersons in particular, for the first several minutes, the evidence is strong that you don't have to do mouth to mouth ventilation. You come upon the victim who is unresponsive, not breathing or breathing abnormally. You can just begin chest compressions. We say push fast and push hard, meaning press the chest at least 100 times per minute. And by hard, we mean if you can do it to a depth of about 2 inches. And that will sufficiently provide blood to the brain to protect it for at least 5 to 6 minutes. Makes it much easier for lay rescuers to do CPR on someone they've never seen before.
And in most cities, by then, somebody will have come to help.
That's right. Some form of emergency help, and can then add ventilation to the compressions.
A remarkable story.
It is. I'll tell you, I've never seen anything like it in all my years of managing hundreds of cardiac arrests.
And what does this man do for a living?
He's a gourmet chef. He made me the most delicious cheesecake I've ever had.
But he's already, I hope he's not eating it himself.
He's very fit, and he had no known coronary artery disease until this event caused his collapse. Subsequently, he did undergo an elective coronary artery bypass operation to bypass the other diseased coronary vessels.
Dr. Roger White is an emergency physician and medical director of the Mayo Clinic's emergency transport team.